It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
Watch party, I can't do it.
And we're back. What you should be able to share, Joe. You should be able to share the link on your page. I don't know why not. You've always done it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So we're back. I'm Davin. That's Joe, and of course we are joined by COVID Karen. Been a spirited first portion of the show. A little bit of breaking news. Our pal Kevin Israel sent me a message. The Trumper tantrum continues. The person who's in charge of election security for the Department of Homeland Security, who had the temerity to say that the election went off well, has been fired. Because that's what you do.
Oh, my God.
For a job well done, out! Out! Get out! Why are you shocked?
Oh my,
why? Well, I like how you're shocked like it's the first time. Why? I can't believe he did that!
Be.
What?
I shouldn't be, but it's just like, it's just bizarre to me that, like, new people are being placed and people are being fired right before it's all going to be over.
Because he's burning the shit down. He's withdrawing troops 5 days before Biden takes over. The Republicans are pissed off. Mitch McConnell's pissed off. The person who's in charge of the military for Congress is pissed off. Because they know this shit isn't being done well. It's a Trumper tantrum. He's burning the shit. Why are you... This is why... When people get fired in the real world, they don't hang out for 2 months. You get them the fuck out. They get escorted. They get the little potted fern plant that they've had since they started the job. They try to grab a stapler on the way out, and then they're marched in front of the whole office. You know, they're trying to look around, but nobody wants to make eye contact with them because they're dead man walking, and they don't want that shit to get contagious. I hear. And then you kick them out. You kick them to the curb. You don't wait around 2 months. That's why you get rid of the, that's why you get rid of the people that get fired. But in America, we're like, stick around 2 months. What's the worst that could happen? We'll see if this shit changes. It is really, and I mean, I understand why we keep presidents around, obviously. Because in every other presidency, you had a transition, which makes sense. You got to get people up to speed, the security, there's military things, threats. In every other presidency, we had that. But this makes the case that goes, maybe we should get rid of the person in a week. Maybe we got to move up. Maybe the system is not working anymore. Because the founding fathers did not comprehend, go, I don't want to leave. I'm burning it all down. I want to take a shit in the corner. They didn't comprehend this. I'm going to piss on the sink. They didn't comprehend. They didn't comprehend somebody scrawling in lipstick, your mother was a cunt, on the Oval Office walls. They could not comprehend this. They had no idea. There is no way they could comprehend this. But one guy can, and he is number 45. He's like, oh, I got 2 more months? Fuck you. And you know what? I'm not going to Mar-a-Lago because you're going to change the locks. So fuck you. I'm staying. And I'm putting the Resolute desk in front of the fucking wall. You're never gonna get me out alive. You're not taking me alive. I says I'm burning it all down.
He wanted to take his frustrations out on Iran.
Yeah. I like how he's musing about attacking Iran, and then it gets leaked out to the media. Holy shit, that's not good. It's not good that he's musing about it, and it's not good that it's in the media. Those things are not good things.
No.
And I like how, like, the people who, like, I guess are political hacks that he's installed, even they're like, you know what, no, please don't do this. But he's going to do what he's going to do. You can't contain the Mad King. You can't contain him, I said. He's burning it all down.
I don't like Iran. Nobody likes Iran, but, you know, maybe we don't want to start a war with him. Well, then Biden will have to fix it.
That's what he's doing. He's burning this shit all down. He's throwing this shit against the wall and goes, all right, now fix it with a toothbrush. I'll see you in 4 years. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know people that are legitimately afraid that he's going, you know, they're like, could you keep the big red button away from him? Oh, my God.
Oh,
that gets really crazy.
Oh, that motherfucker's selling secrets when this is all over. We've never seen this before. He's going to have a garage sale for fucking secrets at Mar-a-Lago Lawn.
Really?
For $300,000. You get a nuclear code. You get a nuclear code and a year's membership to Mar-a-Lago. Everything's for sale. We've never seen this before. When we lose a job, we're out in the front lawn working on the car, working on the jalopy, because now we have free time on our hands. When he loses his job, he's like, "I got codes to sell, motherfuckers. I know where our spies are. And let me just tell you."
Yeah, really.
And you get revealed, and you get revealed, and you get revealed. We all get revealed.
Well, we've seen that done playing politics. That somebody outed a spy. I mean, what's to say what could possibly happen in the next 2 months?
Oh no, but even after the 2 months, he still has all the secrets. He knows where everything is. Now, I mean, it's questionable if it's not at a KFC whether he gives a shit about it or not, but he knows where everything is. We've never seen this before. We just got done with chapter one. Chapter one, the presidency. Strap in, kids. It's going to be bumpy. And if this motherfucker runs again, and I said he might, and you guys poo-pooed me, he's been like, well, maybe I will run again. I think ultimately he won't run again, but he's going to tease it for 3 years. He's going to tease it. It's going to be like that movie. You know, like how like there's a movie you want to see like the sequel to, and it gets in all the rags that they hired Harrison Ford, but now they stopped working on production. Now they fired the writers. They brought new writers in. He always, like, every couple of months you hear rumors and you get your hopes up. That's what Donald Trump's going to do with his supporters for the next 4 years. They're going to hear rumors. Oh, I heard he's running. I heard he's meeting with a future cabinet. I heard he made out with Jeff Sessions. What's going to happen next? And they go, oh, no, I heard he broke up with Jeff Sessions again. And then you'll wait 6 months, and then something new. I heard Mike Pompeo was hanging out at Mar-a-Lago. I wonder what that means. You're going to hear these little things. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's not.
Of course. I mean, like, they had those rallies, and, you know, the rallies are like, well, you know, they're complaining about the vote. They're probably not going to, you know, it has no effect on the vote. However, this is going to be a movement that's going to be going on into the next election cycle.
Well, that's what he hopes. Meanwhile, he's asking his fans to donate to the fight campaign, but a lot of that money's going to pay off his election debt. But they don't know.
Yeah,
they don't care. They're a bunch of rubes. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I get like tons of emails looking for donations. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get, you know, I voted for you, but you're not getting any of my money.
But Joe, now's the time. Now's the time, and we need you in the fight. If you could just send $25, I could pay Rudy Giuliani not to embarrass himself for 35 seconds. Your donation.
You got the same email.
Sure, I get them all. At least with Kamala, I get a, hey you, like we're just fucking hanging out, we might go out for a date. That's what I get from Kamala. Hey you, just thinking about you. Yeah, I'm sitting here with Joey, we're just talking about the future of the country, and your name came up. And for another $25, I'll tell you what we said about you. Fuck you, Kamala.
Like one of the scammers.
That's what I said. That's what I said. They're scammers. But they're not as good. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. It's like, oh, give me some. Now, if you're the person who's getting the email, like Joe, and it's saying, you know, give us some money because we're going to fight this, and you're opening up the newspaper and you're seeing that, well, you know, this judge overturned this lawsuit, and the judge laughed this one out, but why am I sending you money?
No, you're not thinking how they think. They think that's a corrupt judge. That's how they think. They think they're still being cheated. This is how this shit plays out. I've been telling you this. This is nothing new. It's adorable. Some of these Trump supporters, they show up on my news feed. It's just like we're saying. They're like, in 2 hours, I was just talking to somebody. In 2 hours, there's going to be big news that's going to shake it all up and overturn the election. They post this shit, and then nothing happens, and they're right back the next day. It's like they're addicted to a soap opera. They need their fucking heroin hit. Give me more. Daddy's coming back. They're fucking addicted. Listen, you take the L. It's a loss. If you want him to run in 4 years, that's fine. You support that. But you take the loss now. Daddy's not coming home. Daddy left for cigarettes. He's not coming back.
Wait, it's Obamagate part two.
Oh my
god. New and improved.
I'm still waiting for fucking Hunter's laptop. But that's what it is. It's Obama's birth certificate from Kenya, wherever from Kenya. It's the smoking gun for Benghazi. It's the thing that's going to take down the Clinton Foundation. It's Hunter Biden's laptop. It's always the same shit, and the morons believe it every fucking time. And yes, I call you morons, because at what point do you go, you know what?
And then it's the Russian collusion. It's also what he said against the soldiers. So it's the same on the both sides.
Well, there is an element of that, but at least with the Russian thing, there were arrests. You get your payoff. It doesn't just disappear. If there was a payoff, I'd go, okay, all right, not everything's going to pay off, but once in a while something pays off. Nothing pays off. They had 11 investigations in Benghazi. Nothing paid off. It's always the same shit. If you investigate, I don't give a shit, but play it, have something pay off. Don't make me pretend that Hunter Biden's laptop is a big deal, and then it just disappears. It's like bad wrestling storylines. It's like when they bring in a new writer, then all of a sudden the storylines just fucking end. That's what they do. That's what. But you heard it here first that the Hunter Biden thing was probably bullshit. I laid it all out for you, all the fucking surrounding stuff. So hopefully the people who listen to this show saved their time and weren't waiting for Uncle Tucker Carlson to deliver the payoff, baby. Oh no, it got lost in the mail. It got the evidence we needed got lost in the mail. Oh, but then UPS found it. It got found in the mail. But we're still not going to show you because there's nothing there, and the election's over. So on to the next outrage. Okay, speaking of outrage, Pip is outraged. I'm going to share this story. What happened? I'm going to add something that just developed tonight, which is a part of this. And then Pip had a very strong blog about this, so I will let Pip give her take. Pip was all worked up. She was fired up, like an anesthesiologist talking shit about nurses. That's how fired Pip was. So, Congresswoman-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia's 14th congressional district told her new member orientation that she doesn't believe in masks and they are oppressive. Then Halloween's a fucking hoax to her if you don't believe in masks. You look like a witch. What did you do to your nose? Because I don't believe in masks. You're green. So this is her tweet. Her tweet to her peeps. Our first session of new member orientation covered COVID in Congress. Mass, mass, mass. I proudly told my freshman class that masks are oppressive. In Georgia, we work out, shop, go to restaurants, go to work, and school without masks. My body, my choice. Hashtag free your face. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said this week that wearing a face mask can protect not just other people, but also the mask wearer. The more people wear masks consistently and correctly, the stronger protective benefits become, said the CDC. The report indicates that based on their review of evidence, cloth masks not only block viral particles exhaled by the person wearing the mask, but also provides filtration by blocking incoming infectious droplets from other people. Not all masks are created equal, though. Your bandanas, your gaiters, those are not as good for you. They don't do as much. Her comments Friday afternoon came as the United States continues to battle a growing surge of COVID-19. So yeah, last week we added a million new cases of COVID-19. So we got something like 250,000 people have died from this. It's on the rise again. It's going straight up. Now, before I let Pip have the floor, I guess yesterday on the floor of the Senate, which is not the Congress, for those who are listening that are not of the United States, I guess the senator from Alaska, who's a Republican, was speaking without a mask, and Sherrod Brown, who's the senator from Ohio, who's a Democrat, got upset and said, "Wear your mask." And then Ted Cruz like got all up in him and go, like, "Stop being a baby." And then just before we went on the air, 87-year-old Chuck Grassley now has COVID-19. 87's not a good age to get COVID-19. Not good. So we hope Chuck Grassley, we hope he heals. But so that's the backdrop, and we will unleash the Pippin.
Well, thank you, Davin.
Sure.
First off, I can't believe that people are still being annoyed to the point that they won't wear masks because the word she is, she's oppressed. I'm sorry. She's from Georgia, and she's talking about oppression. There were 400 years of people being oppressed in that state that would like to talk to you about what oppression actually is. Wearing a piece of cloth over your mouth is not keeping you from your freedoms.
Hey, you know what? You know what, though? Honestly, if the mask was a little tighter over your mouth, maybe they wouldn't have been shit stirred at a hospital. I'm just saying. Masks serve multiple purposes.
No. Usually people use duct tape.
Good point.
But the thing is that you're talking about you're being oppressed by wearing this mask. No, this is for something. This is your fellow countrymen. You're trying to keep them from getting sick. You're trying to keep yourself from getting sick. This is an emergency. This isn't, you know, that somebody mandated that everybody has to do this every day for the rest of your life. This is for an emergency. This is to protect you. Now, the analogy that I used in the blog is, you know, you don't have to wear a safety belt. A law came across, I was against it at first too, but if you've ever seen a video from a police department showing what happens to people in car wrecks when they wear a safety belt versus what happens when they don't, you would be hard-pressed to come up with an excuse not to wear one anymore. And the thing is that is protecting you, but we also have rules against drunk driving. You're not allowed to go out there and kill somebody because you're drunk and you slam your vehicle into them. So by the same token, there are laws, you know, state to state, but there are laws that you have to wear this to protect other people. And it's just for the meantime until this virus is under control. But for now, saying that you're oppressed by it is you're being a selfish baby twat. The other thing is, don't even get started with my body.
My body, my choice?
My body, my choice. Don't even start with that. The pro-abortion talk, because they're two completely separate
things. Well, she's anti-abortion. She's anti-abortion.
I'm sure she is. But that's really ironic that she's using that kind of language. And she can't appreciate the difference between the two. But the other thing is, they're two completely different things. You don't want somebody telling you what to do with your body. Well, I don't even want to go off on a tangent about, pro-abortion versus, pro-life people. You know, because people are pro-choice, that doesn't make them pro-abortion. I misspoke. But it's like, no, you should wear a mask. I just saw this brilliant meme. I mean, I know you hate memes, but I just saw this brilliant meme on Facebook that explained it. It's two men standing side by side, and they both have their pants off. And the one guy pees facing forward. The other guy's going to get wet. If the guy that's getting peed at was wearing pants, he'd be a little bit more protected from the pee.
I don't think you understand pants and urine. Because even if you're wearing pants and you're urinated on, you're still going to get wet, Pip. I feel like perhaps that meme is not as brilliant as you think it is. Where'd your sound go? Pip's sound is gone. Joe, are you there? Oh, well. Yeah. That sometimes you got to shut the women folk up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to your headphone, Pip. I don't know. What? Now she has to write. Finally, the show we deserve.
Yeah.
What? Oh, you want me to call you back?
You know, it's like she's stuck in a cave. And we're trying to get her help. And we're deciding whether we're going to send it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Joe, it's quite the decision. I'm not going to lie. I mean, she says, this is a brilliant meme. And then she talks about two guys being pantless and urinating on each other. That does not scream brilliance to me. And,
it screams fantasy to me.
It's hers, not yours.
Yeah, because,
pants are nice, but urine seeps through pants. So, yeah. So I
found that out when I was three.
Yeah, exactly. But to Pip, this is brilliance. Pip's like, aha, a meme that speaks to me and explains COVID-19 so perfectly. Let me bring this to the show. And then the technology said, fuck this bitch.
Right.
All right. Let's, I guess I have to call everybody back? Is that what we got to do now? I don't know, Joe. I don't know, Joe. Do we really want to do that? I mean, adults are talking. Men are talking.
Part of the thing.
Well, yeah, but if we do, but Joe, let me ask you a question. If we don't call her back, who will she complain to about us being mean? That's the question. Is COVID Karen going to take this to HR? Because that is her modus operandi.
Complain to Mr. Healy.
You won't believe what they did to me. I'm going to get them fired from their houses. All right. Let's stop everything and call everybody back. Please hold on. I will call you both back. Are you both there? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
All right. We're all back.
Oh. look at Pip. Oops. Pip causes everybody problems. She goes into nursing.
I know. Apparently, my technology is going absolutely apeshit tonight. I'm sorry.
All right. So you think this congresswoman is absolutely incorrect?
I think she's absolutely incorrect. I think that anybody that is not wearing a mask these days, especially with the numbers going up the way they are everywhere, it's foolish. And I really do think that a lot of this kind of thought, unfortunately, goes back to Trump, because he was so against people wearing masks and so adamant about how that was unmanly somehow or weak-willed to wear a mask. And so that really encouraged a lot of people to say, you know what, I think he's right. I don't want to do this. So instead of, people getting online, getting on board with wearing masks, they just decided, I don't have to do that. That it's inconvenient. I don't like it. I'm not doing it. I don't see the point. Well, the point is that we have to throw everything we can at this.
Here's the deal. She gave her feelings on masks. Did she refuse to wear one?
I'm imagining she refused to wear one if those are her feelings.
Yes, she refused to wear one. And, here's the problematic part. She's a leader. People have elected this person. I mean, listen, you got Tommy Tuberville, who just got elected a Senate to Alabama, and he thinks in World War II we were fighting the socialists. So listen, we do not elect bright people. I mean, there's a real deficiency of intelligence in our leadership.
Where in the story did it say that she didn't wear a mask?
I didn't actually remember seeing that, Joe, but I'm imagining if she's saying that...
Basically, the thing is she giving her opinion on, I feel masks are a federal fucking case. I wear them. You could take that as Joe Curry says wearing a mask is a federal case, and he doesn't believe in it, and that could... But did I say I'm not wearing them? Yeah, I wear them. I have to.
Well, she's an elected official. That's the difference.
Leaders, Davin said.
Yeah, there's a lot more weight in her words than what if we personally think. So leadership. There's responsibility. All right. I'm assuming she's going to wear the mask when rules dictate, otherwise she's going to get let out by the sergeant of arms. Because, the Democrats control the House, Nancy Pelosi makes the rules, and they got to wear masks.
I'm sure she's going to wear a mask because she has to, I mean, she's just expressing her opinion that, she feels they're oppressive.
No, but she's doing more than expressing her opinion. She's trying to make it like a point, a fight, a bone of contention. She's not saying, listen, I don't like wearing masks, but I'm going to wear it because that's the rules. She's not doing that. She's trying to make herself a hero.
She's playing to her base.
Yeah, that's fine. She's doing a little AOCing. She's AOCing. She's playing to her base, which is fine. She can play to her base. I don't give a shit. I mean, I don't think I'm going to hear that much more about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She does not strike me as somebody who's a mover and a shaker. But we'll see. I agree with Pip's sentiment. And, other countries, it's not really up for debate anymore. I mean, there are some anti-mask people in other countries, but it's a very small minority of the people, and they're doing much better than we are. Every time you turn on the news...
But there's not one person, like I said, there's not one person anywhere that's saying, I like wearing the mask. But no. You got to do it. I hate wearing them. Nobody's like wearing them. It's a right. federal case.
No, but unfortunately, you have you got places where you do have to wear a mask. Governors are making rules. Mayors, you know, city officials, they're trying to set rules, trying to set good behavior so we can get past this. She's stirring up the shit. You know, we don't need that right now. But I'm not really. I think she's one of these QAnon believers too. There's a couple of them got elected.
Could be.
All right, let's move it along. It's a Pip's blog is a good read. I suggested if you have some time, go to davincomedy.com and go to blogs, and it will be the first blog up there. All right, Milwaukee news anchor is off the air for a mean-spirited social media post questioning why Jeopardy host Alex Trebek died this year, while Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell keeps on ticking. Ted Perry, that's a good anchor's name. Ted Perry reporting. I like that. Ted Perry. WITI's main anchor for its 5 and 10 p.m. newscast was suspended by the Fox-owned and operated station for a Facebook post on his personal page in the aftermath of Trebek's Sunday death at 80 due to pancreatic cancer, sources close to the matter told the Post on Friday. 2020 takes Alex Trebek but leaves Mitch McConnell, Perry wrote in the since-deleted post. They always delete the shit. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported, just end already! Perry, 56, shut down his Twitter account and personal Facebook page following the controversial post. That's the next move. Shut it down! You want to find me? I'm going to MySpace. He still maintains a Facebook profile via the Fox affiliate, but hasn't posted there since Saturday. A message seeking comment from station reps as well as Perry was not immediately returned. This was on Friday. Meanwhile, sources told the Post it's unclear when Perry would be back on the air. Perry apologized for the post, which led to blowback both on Facebook and Twitter, including from conservatives who said the comment revealed the anchor's bias, while others called for him to be fired. See, cancel culture. We got the cancel culture from the right, too. Hours later, he took it down. I made a statement on my personal page that was insensitive and does not reflect my journalist values. It kind of does. And I was not speaking on behalf of my employer. Perry's mea culpa read, I deeply apologize for my inappropriate and outrageous comments and have deleted them accordingly. Unfortunately, you motherfuckers took a screenshot, so I have to talk about it. Perry!
What?
Yeah, really.
Perry, an Illinois native.
Bastards! How dare you pay attention?
Damn it! Why can't you treat me like my wife and ignore me? Perry, an Illinois native, joined the station in 1993. According to his bio, it's unclear whether he'll be paid during his time off. McConnell, 78, won his seventh term in the Senate last week, defeating a well-funded Democratic military vet. He was later reelected unanimously on Tuesday as Senate Republican leader, but whether he'll retain his role as majority leader or cede to Senate Chuck Schumer is still to be determined ahead of the Georgia runoff. McConnell's health became a topic in Washington as recently as last month when large purple bruises were spotted on his skin. Dermatologists said the marks and his bandaged hands were likely from a common condition called senile purpa. Crash test dummies were asked for comment. They went, remember that video? The girl had like purple blotches on her hand, like Mitch McConnell? Oh my God.
No, I don't remember.
You guys
that.
Don't remember that?
That was a good tune, though.
It was. No. That was one of the characters. Like one of the girls had like purple blotches all over her. And they were singing, all right. It's a good tune. Anyway. Your skin just naturally becomes more fragile as you age. Manhattan-based dermatologist Dr. Doris Day. Really? That's who the post... Well, you got a Dr. Doris Day. Let's go to her. Okay. I guess Dr. Lucille Ball was busy. I think it's just a bruise, a solid bruise. I don't know if this guy should be suspended. I mean, is this really that bad?
I think this is another case.
I think he should be suspended. It was a stupid comment, but in the news, actually, Mitch McConnell is the new host of Jeopardy. And welcome to Jeopardy. And the answer is absolutely no fucking way. And what is any policy the Democrats have?
Oh, God, it's true. It's true. Oh, my God. That's a little too true, Joe. That hurt.
I guess you could suspend this guy. I mean, he should not be fired. I mean, it's not like he said it on the air. He put it on his personal Facebook page.
Yeah, he should be suspended, but, you know, maybe for a couple of weeks. But, yeah, don't fire him.
But here's the interesting thing. We're holding this guy up to journalistic integrity, which I get, which I appreciate. But if you go on any of the cable news stations, even the non-pundits, it's very clear who they're rooting for. I mean, you know, whether it be Fox or CNN or MSNBC, you know who they're rooting for. So it seems like the local newscaster is being held to one standard of journalistic integrity, and the cable news anchors are not being held to the same standard. I think that's a little unfair.
You know what? I don't think that it's the same thing as, like, journalistic integrity as far as it is. It's close when you're suggesting that somebody should die, somebody who's in political office. It's not exactly saying, please go kill them, but we have, I mean, as far as we've unleashed the loony Kraken this year, you don't really want to have somebody that's in a place, you know, of public trust telling people, yeah, this is the one that I think should die.
Yeah, but it's not like not like you can go and throw pancreatic cancer at him. I mean, you know, he just
No, you can't. But it's just like you're saying, you know, no. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can throw pancreatic cancer at him, because that's specifically what Alex Trebek died of. But I mean, if you're saying, you know, well, why did he go? This is the guy that should die. And there are enough people, you know, with some, you know, true animosity towards one political figure or another, they'll figure out a way to get it done. And you don't want to be the one calling for that.
And also on this show, I mean, he's a news anchor for the 5 p.m. and the 10 p.m. newscast. And basically, that's just it's an impartial, regularly nightly newscast. When you're talking about Hannity, you're talking about Tucker Carlson.
No, I'm not talking about the pundits. I specifically said not the pundits, the anchors on all these news stations. You could tell how they're rooting. Forget about the pundits.
Oh, yeah.
Like you know how Anderson Cooper's not a pundit. You know how he thinks politically. You know that Fox and Friends aren't pundits, but you know what they're thinking politically. So that's what I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, the local news, I've never really noticed a bias before.
He wasn't thinking it. He actually wrote it.
And that's the problem. But you know, I've thought it. I mean, I haven't said it. I haven't written it. But I've thought it. How come such and such has to die and this motherfucker's alive? I think we've all done that.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
Guy was just being human. All right, suspend them for a week or two, and let's get back to work. He doesn't like
him.
He doesn't like Mitch. Mitch McConnell's own state doesn't like him. He's got like 33% approval. They just keep on voting him back in, which I don't understand. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell. I don't think his wife likes Mitch McConnell. That's why his hands are fucking broken. He tried to grab a titty, and she fucking smacked him away.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell. I think Mitch McConnell is the one politician that we can all agree on, you know. It's not so bad if he's gone. See? It's not so bad if I said that. I left it vague. What does he mean by gone? Losing a job? What does he really mean? But nobody likes Mitch McConnell.
He could go on vacation.
Mitch McConnell's own turtle shell does not like Mitch McConnell. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell.
And they're firmly attached, so that's horrible for the show.
The turtle's like, can't we just play in traffic and somebody run over me so I can crack and get off of you?
Look, you know my political views. I can't stand Mitch McConnell.
No, he's a douche. He's a
Nobody likes Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, doesn't this news station have to go, all right, it's Mitch McConnell, we get it. Don't do it again.
We'll make an exception this one time.
That was the meeting.
Yeah.
That was probably the meeting.
Yeah.
You know, look, nobody likes the fucking guy, but, you know, we got to save face here.
See, that's what he should have argued. He should have argued that it doesn't show my political bias. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell. That would have been the argument. I think both sides of the aisle can agree. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell.
I agree.
Everybody loves Alex Trebek.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has a bad word to say about Alex Trebek. Humanitarian, nice guy. You know, it was in everybody's living room for like all these years. Everybody likes Alex Trebek. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell. No controversy. No controversy. The guy said what we all thought.
Well, but the thing is, there's a huge difference between thinking it and saying it as a news person.
Yeah.
He should know better. He can't say that.
Well, he did, so he can.
I know. So he has to be suspended.
I know. But it's funny, though. But it, The right immediately wanted to cancel. Everybody wants, see, left, right, everybody wants canceling. Everybody cancel the other side. They're mean. They did something stupid. Get rid of him. Oh, he should be fired. Suspend him for a couple of weeks. You know, he'll come on the air. He'll apologize. We'll all move on. We'll all wish, you know, Mitch McConnell gets run over by a semi. What, did I say that? I didn't mean that. I love Mitch McConnell and his purple hands and his little shell and his little giblet neck. It's giblets time. Next week's giblets time. Mitch McConnell's never more in season than Thanksgiving. We're all thankful for Mitch McConnell. Everybody's thankful. Sure, Trump wants to do a deal. Pelosi wants to do a deal. But the human giblet doesn't want to do a deal. But we love Mitch McConnell. Love Mr. Giblets.
Mr. Giblets. Yeah, okay, now I think somebody feel his forehead. Davin has a fever.
No, I mean, listen, I get it. I just think it's interesting that we hold the local newscasters to a different standard than we hold the cable newscasters. That's all I'm saying. I mean, listen, I think it was Anderson Cooper that said Donald Trump, and I've said it as much, but this is like Donald Trump is flailing around like a fat turtle on his back. I mean, Anderson Cooper said that, and he apologized, but he didn't get suspended.
It's a far cry from making fun of them, which a lot of them have taken to doing.
Yes, they
making
have.
Fun of political figures goes really far back in our country. It's a far cry from making fun of them to calling for their demise, however you couch that.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a news anchor on CNN saying this about the president. Now, I get why he would say it about the president, and the president says horrible things about the media. I understand it all. That being said, all I'm saying is our news has devolved, and I just feel I just feel a little bad for this guy. I get why you have to suspend him. I just feel a little bad that this guy's being held to a different standard. I wish they would all do better, but whatever.
Well, there is a different standard between local news and cable news.
Well, yeah, we learned that. this guy in Milwaukee just learned that shit. He might have a job at MSNBC. He should fucking send his resignation. Maybe he'll host the 4 o'clock hour. Who knows? All right.
I was just going to say, just in general, Walter Cronkite is rolling over in his grave daily.
Yeah, and he's upset that Alex Trebek is there and Mitch McConnell isn't too. But
school of fool.
What are you laughing about? What? What?
What's the matter with you?
Did an anesthesiologist have an opinion and is he in your crosshairs?
Holy cow.
The fuck?
I just laugh because I'm picturing poor Walter Cronkite. What the hell are they doing? Oh my goodness. They don't just give the news.
This is Walter Cronkite. What the fuck were they thinking?
Why does your Walter Cronkite sound like your Richard Nixon?
It's close enough.
I said, why does your Walter Cronkite?
That's Walter Cronkite.
It sounded like Richard Nixon.
It didn't sound like Walter Cronkite.
A little Nixon-y. It's a little Nixon-y. All right. The feds are probing a California university for inviting a Palestinian airplane hijacker to give a virtual talk that Zoom refused to host, the Post has learned. The U.S. Department of Education is reviewing concerns that San Francisco State University broke federal rules by attempting to host the event with Layla Khalid, who helped carry out two politically motivated hijackings in 1969 and 70. The agency also asked the Justice Department and the U.S. Treasury to examine the case documents obtained by the Post Show. I don't know what the Post Show is. The publicly funded school made headlines in September when Zoom barred it from using the video conferencing service to broadcast Khalid's talk. The stream was moved to YouTube, but was cut off after just 23 minutes. The Lawfare Project, a civil rights nonprofit that serves the Jewish people and the pro-Israel community, urged the feds to investigate the September 23rd event, given Khalid's ties to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, or PFLP, a revolutionary group that the U.S. has designated as a terrorist organization. In normal circumstances, people like Layla Khalid would be barred entry into the United States. Lawfare Project senior counsel Gerard Felitti told the Post. However, now we're living in a world in which Zoom and teleconferences and video conferences are the norm. It would be a perversion of justice if terrorists were allowed to spread their message and indoctrinate students by Zoom. The Lawfare Project contends that SFSU provided material support to terrorists by offering K-Lit a platform in the U.S. violating an anti-terrorism statute known as 18 U.S.C. Section 2339B. Joe had that on the tip of his tongue, I'm sure. In an October 8th letter responding to the group, Education Department official Reed Rubenstein acknowledged that SFSU's conduct concerning Layla K-Lit and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine may be subjected to the Department of Treasury's sanctions authorities. Rubenstein, the agency's principal deputy general counselor, referred the concerns to both the Treasury and the Department of Justice, which enforces the relevant and anti-terrorism law, according to letters that Lawfare provided to the Post. The Education Department will evaluate concerns that SFSU's webinar violated civil rights rules and the conditions of federal grants the university received. The department's civil rights office in San Francisco said in a Monday letter to Lawfare that it received the complaint and would decide whether to fully investigate. A formal investigation by the feds could lead to a reduction in the university's federal funding, as well as possible fines or criminal charges, according to Lawfare executive Brooke Goldstein. The Treasury Department declined to comment. The Justice Department and the Education Department did not respond to requests for comment. SFSU also didn't respond to an email seeking comment on the Fed's action. Nobody's got shit to say right now. Concerns about K-Lit's membership in a terrorist group have led Zoom to scuttle two events featuring K-Lit, one at SFSU and another scheduled for last month at the University of Hawaii because they violated the video conferencing giant's policies. YouTube similarly removed a live broadcast of the SFSU talk for breaking its rules after the organizers tried to host the event there. A clip Lawfare captured shows the stream being interrupted as host played a video in which K-Lit asks, "Who decides and defines terror what terrorism is?" Who decides? I would say the people that get blown up. Anyway, the SFSU event, hosted by professors Rabab Abdulati and and Tomomi Kinukawa, was billed as a historic roundtable conversation with K-Lit and other pro-Palestinian activists, according to a Facebook event listing that was removed. Pro-Palestinian activists slammed Zoom and YouTube for scrapping K-Lit's talk, saying the platform wrongly silenced an important discussion. SFSU President Lynn Mahoney has also stood by her faculty's right to facilitate such controversial conversations and said the school did not compensate K-Lit for her participation in any way. "We cannot embrace the silencing of controversial views, even if they are hurtful to others," Mahoney said in a statement after Zoom canceled the event. "We must commit to speech and to the right to dissent, including condemning ideologies of hatred and violence against unarmed civilians." But Goldstein says the school crossed the boundaries of academic freedom. She said she hopes the feds will investigate the event and enforce the law as they deem necessary. "Terrorists do not have a fundamental rights to free speech," Goldstein told the Post. K-Lit, an icon of the Palestinian resistance movement, has been branded a terrorist by Jewish groups, as well as Elon Carr, the U.S. State Department special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. She is perhaps best known for her roles in two PFLP hijackings, one targeting a Tel Aviv-bound plane in 1969, and another one, her Piste de la Resistance, a flight from Amsterdam to New York in 1970. In the 1969 attack, K-Lit and another hijacker forced the jet to land in Damascus and blew the plane's nose section after evacuating it. PFLP operatives mistakenly believed Israeli ambassador Yitzhak Rabin was a passenger, but American diplomat Thomas Boyat was, in fact, on board. The later hijacking was one of four that the PFLP carried out on September 6, 1970, but it didn't work. K-Lit was apprehended by British authorities in London, and her partner, Sandinista revolutionary Patrick Arguello, was shot and killed on the plane. Interesting topic here.
Yeah, it really is.
That's why I picked it. And you're frozen again, Pip. But at least you're frozen in a pondering free. Look, Pip's thinking. She's the thinking woman. Look at Pip. Pip's mulling it over. Thinking. See, this is why you get to watch. If you're watching the show, you get to see Pip's thinking face. And she looks concerned. Maybe she's concerned for Mitch McConnell. Maybe she's concerned for K-Lit. Who knows? Pip's concerned. You know what?
I'm concerned that my Zoom isn't working, so I'm trying to get back in.
I understand. I think there is a value to hearing from terrorists. I think there's a value. Helps you understand them. You know, I could see the value in that.
I understand completely why they wanted to have this talk with her and just see, you know, how she's thinking. What goes into their decision-making process? Why are they, pushed to do the things that they do. I wouldn't want her to be let into the U.S. Like physically, but I see the value on an academic level of finding out what they're about.
Why do you hate the Jews? Go. listen, I certainly see the value. The question is, do you want your tax dollars going to that because it's a publicly funded university? I think it's a little bit better if it's a privately funded university. I think that's I could see why taxpayers would have a problem with this. But if it was privately funded, I would have less of an issue with it. I have no issue with YouTube and Zoom saying not on our platform. Like I say all the time, it's their technology. They can have whoever they want. I got no problem with them saying we don't want this.
I just don't like the fact of entertaining a terrorist, especially a terrorist with a track record.
Well, those are the best types, Joe. Nobody wants to talk to the failed terrorist. You want somebody who's got some notches on the explosives belt, on the suicide vest.
Obama, who gives a shit? The shoe bomber, who gives a shit what he thinks?
Exactly, he sucked. You want somebody that's blown the nose off the front of an airplane. You know, all right, they've been there, they've been through the wall. It's like, you know what? I can give you Aaron Judge, or you could talk to the utility player that got called up and played one inning of defense. Who would you like to talk to? You want to talk to Aaron Judge. You don't want the career minor leaguer. You want somebody who's been to the dance.
You don't want the failed guy. It's
no!
Obviously, you're an idiot.
No. I mean, listen, I understand why it's offensive, but I'm not one who gets offended by offensive speech, so I'm not everybody. I think what's really interesting is here, they raised the question, because Kaylee could not come into the U.S., but they argue that having a teleconference is equivalent to them coming into the U.S. I don't think that's true. I think that's a bridge too far.
I don't think that's true either. I don't think that they're equivalent. I mean, it's like having a phone call with somebody only to see their face.
Yeah, I think they're stretching a little bit. Again, I don't – listen. If the university wants to do it, I think it should be a private university, not a public university. But if they want to set up some closed line, some closed circuit TV, you know, from there to their classroom because no platform wants to do it, okay. Now, I don't know if I want them, saying death to the Jews, death to America. I don't know if I want that going on, but I'd like to hear why they hate us.
What do you think she's going to say?
Yeah. No, but if you orchestrate it right, you can have a constructive conversation. Why do you feel so against American policy? And then I have a pretty good idea why I know the answers. But it has a different impact when you hear it coming out of their mouth.
It's a very, you know, I tell you, I'm very torn on this. Just, you know, from the freedom of speech angle, but it's the speech of a convicted terrorist espousing their terrorist ideas and coming from another country. I don't believe it's a freedom of speech coming into ours. It's, you know, it just seems that we're entertaining terrorists where there should be absolutely no tolerance for it. You know, like I said, it's a very fine line between a no tolerance for terrorist issue and a freedom of speech issue.
Well, he doesn't have freedom of speech. He has no freedom of speech. He's not an American citizen. So, although the government is the one who's enacting it, so for a change we have that in play. But he doesn't have the rights that you or I have. He doesn't even have the rights that an American terrorist would have. Or she, I should
say. Isn't it she?
Yes, it's she. Yeah.
I was thinking you're saying he. Who the hell is he?
Who the hell is she?
And that's the thing. It's entertaining. It's entertaining, entertaining terror. We don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't,
But we do.
We do.
We do negotiate with terrorists. We're negotiating with the Taliban right now.
But it just seems that to have somebody come, you know, yeah, and you're correct that we're negotiating with the Taliban. But I just think about talking with somebody that's got a track record in terrorism. To hear her view, I don't think that they should have any platform.
Yeah, but how do you learn? How do you learn? How can you make the change? How can you make the how can you influence them? How can you change our policy? How can you explain to them why they're wrong? why they're misinterpreting what our policy is if you don't have the dialogue. Now, I'm not saying it needs to be in this school. Like I said, it's a public school. It's a public university, so it's tax dollars. So there's where the complaint is, because I could certainly see a bunch of taxpayers going, not on my dime, and I get that. But if this was Notre Dame, which is a private university, what's the problem?
Well, also, that's a slippery slope, looking at it in terms of now, because it's taxpayer dollars, the taxpayers are going to be able to influence what's discussed in an educational place.
Well, no, but they're not influencing. They're not influencing it because it's against the law.
I know.
Because they violated the law. So you can't have tax dollars going to violate the law to commit a crime.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good point. If you do terrorist actions, of course that that's abhorrent. You're being violent to get your ideas across is always abhorrent to me. But the whole idea that to have discussions with people who are so violently opposed to U.S. actions, there is potential value in having the conversation. Okay, what happened that drove you to violence?
And you know what you can do? If you're a decent moderator, if they start espousing, death to America, death to Jews, you just cut it off. You have that power. You can have a certain amount of rope to give them where if it's a constructive conversation, and then if they just, start trying to indoctrinate the class, then you go, okay, that's it.
Right. You broke the rules. You have rules.
Right.
You have rules during, presidential debates. Sometimes they're broken. Then you can mute the mic,
But it's interesting in a college where they'll boycott speakers coming in. And because they don't like the view, it just seems interesting. Well, we'll bring a terrorist in. Interesting.
Well, when you put it on that level, how can you boycott anybody if you're going to have the terrorist talk? But I don't think they should do that. I mean, I think Columbia was going to have Columbia University of New York was going to have the former Ahmadinejad, the former leader of Iran when he was here for the United Nations. He was going to talk about Columbia University, and then there was, at Columbia University, there was a lot of outcry, and they had to cancel him. I mean, listen, I think speech has value. I think you could learn from people. I think as long as there's rules and and somebody who's responsible has the ultimate control, I think it can be productive.
Yeah, I mean, there are reasons why people, this is a violent form of protest and dissension. But the thing is that we can learn from looking at things from a different point of view. America is not innocent little babies, There are things that our country has done that are despicable. I mean, talk to the Native Americans. But and so maybe there is value in saying, okay, I don't agree with your methods, but tell us what you're thinking, and we'll think about it. It's valuable in that sense.
You hijack a plane, maybe that was a good idea.
Why did they do it?
It's just
what I mean?
It's interesting. I definitely think they're overstepping, though, as we said, when they say that's like akin to being in the United States. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
So I support YouTube. I support Zoom. And, the school gave it a shot. Now they might be in trouble. Just an interesting story. A little different one.
Yeah.
Here's another one. New technology. What the fuck? What did I do? Oh, what did I do? Nothing. New technology.
Don't talk to me about technology tonight.
New technology on how you can listen to music, and this is...
Imagine a world where sound can be both private and immersive, free from wearing headphones and without disturbing others, where you can almost feel the sound coming from within. Are you listening? Introducing Sound Beaming. You hear the audio, others don't, without headphones. Proprietary DSP and transducer arrays generate ultrasonic waves, being formed into two focused pockets of energy just outside the ears, where they emit audible sound. A 3D sensing module constantly monitors the position of the ears. Move the head in any direction, and the two sound pockets follow, like magic. Whether working at home or in a busy office, Sound Beaming makes video conferencing comfortable and private. gaming becomes more immersive and three-dimensional. While video and audio content can be enjoyed by anyone at any time without disturbing others, drivers can get safety alerts and navigation privately. It's even possible to train on fitness equipment without headphones getting in the way. At Noveto, we're transforming audio, and this is just the beginning. Are you listening?
So buyers will have the option of using a traditional stereo sound, which will hit both ears evenly, or a 3D option that creates a 360-degree audio experience that envelops the listener. The demo includes natural video clips of swans on a lake, because everybody wants to hear that, bees buzzing, and a babbling brook who won't shut the fuck up, where the listener feels completely transported into a scene. You don't believe it because it sounds like a speaker, but no one else can hear it. It's supporting you, and you're in the middle of everything. It's happening around you, the spokesperson from Noveto continued. You don't need to tell the device where you are. It's not streaming to one exact place. It follows you wherever you go, you creep. So it's personally for you. Follows you, plays what you want inside your head. The voices have a tune. The most others in the room could hear is a little bit of sound. Wall water, explained, but you don't get the volume. Because the device is headphone-free, the listener can still hear other things going on in the room. The new tech is so anomalous, it's hard for the company's CEO to even put it into words. The brain doesn't understand what it doesn't know, Christoph Rammstein said. That was for Joe. When he first tried out this device, he questioned how it was different from other listening experiences. I was thinking, yeah, but is it the same with headphones? No, because I have the freedom, and it's like I have the freedom of doing what I want to do, and I have these sounds playing in my head as there would be something happening there, which is difficult to explain because we have no reference for that at all. So I put this on the poll. This is one of the week's poll questions. Slightly more people were against it than were for it. I have to say I would not want that.
Neither would I.
I think I'd go nuts.
Well, you're there, but I don't trust it. Like they even say, like holding up a cell phone to your head can cause cancer. I don't know what's
right. Exactly. That's point number two.
Why do you think I've got a headset on right now instead of holding the phone in my head for 3 hours straight? Bake my brain.
No, that's what you should do. I just don't trust it, like, beaming into my head. The fact that the CEO can't even explain it, that doesn't comfort me. Listen, I don't know what the fuck it does.
I don't think it's that he can't explain it. I think that it's just such a brand new concept that we don't have the language to explain it to each other, you know?
Yeah, that's why you make up terms.
Well, yeah. It's like, yeah, but if you're saying it's goobity-doo, you know, you don't know what goobity-doo means, so it's like, that's not helping me.
No, but you explain it. You go.
I immediately thought of, and I mean, I've thought of this as new technology comes up all the time. New listeners will not have already known, but my mother was schizophrenic, and she would often complain about the television and that they could see her. And I thought, as things came up like Zoom meetings or interactive television or whatever, or video calls, I thought, oh Christ, if she was alive now, I would never hear the end of it. Because now they can see you and hear you, you know? And I thought, so immediately I thought of her when I heard of this, that, you know, people who are insane, they think that they are putting things in their brains. And it's like, oh shit, now they can.
Yeah,
right.
No, thank
you. Voices
in my head. Yes,
Danilo. No, thank you.
I think it's just a matter of trust, and we don't trust them. But this could be the future if they can make it cheap. I mean, think about it. Like now, there's earbuds, I should say, which I don't use, but my daughter does because I don't trust that shit either. Where you know, like you don't even have a wire for your Apple phone, and you just put the little earbuds on your head and everything. I don't like that shit having to do with my head. If they could beam it through my toe, I'd be a lot happier with this shit. Play it in your balls. Your balls are going to rock. You're going to feel it. AC/DC's never going to sound better than when we put it right in your balls. I'm an old guy. I don't really need my balls anymore. Fry that shit away. Yeah. But I still need my brain. So I think they're aiming at the wrong place. Like if they make it, oh, we're, you know, Angus is going to kick you in the nuts and you're going to feel it. All right, I'm interested.
I don't want anybody microwaving sounds into my ovaries. Thank you very much.
You're not using.
So you can keep your bionic balls. No.
No, ovaries are, your ovaries are fried.
I would think, though, you know, just for the surround sound, I think playing video games would make it really cool. You know, and that effect would make it really cool.
It's all really cool. It's all really cool. It sounds like you're in the middle of the band or in the middle of the TV show. It's all really cool. I just don't want them beaming shit into my head.
Just the stuff beaming into my head. I'm just a little leery of that.
All right.
It sounds like the worst possible Pink Floyd song ever.
All right. So that's how you listen at home. Even going to concerts is a...
On November 9th, pharmaceutical company Pfizer released early results on a COVID-19 vaccine, giving the concert industry much-needed hope that business can resume in 2021. In preparation, Ticketmaster has been working on a framework for post-pandemic fan safety that uses smartphones to verify vaccination status or test results. If approved, here's how it would work. After purchasing a concert ticket, attendees would either need to show proof of vaccination or a negative test result approximately 24 to 72 hours prior to the event, depending on local government requirements. The plan, which is still in the development phase, will rely on three separate components: the Ticketmaster app, third-party health information companies like Clear Health Pass or IBM's Digital Health Pass, and testing and vaccine distribution providers like LabCorp and the CVS MinuteClinic. But once a fan's COVID-19 status is verified, Ticketmaster would issue credentials and the show would go on. For everything you need to know, head to billboard.com. For Billboard News, I'm Jordan Rowland.
Ticketmaster will reportedly not store Access medical records under the plan. If approved, fans would need to verify that they've already been vaccinated or have tested negative as recently as 24 hours prior to the show. Concert goers would then instruct a lab to send over test results to companies like Clear Health Pass or IBM's Digital Health Pass, which would verify the fan's status to Ticketmaster. Anyone who tests positive or doesn't get screened won't be granted access to the event venue, Billboard report. Ticketmaster President Mark Yovich told Billboard he expects demand for digital screening services to skyrocket once a vaccination is ultimately approved and distributed. We're already seeing many third-party healthcare providers prepare to handle the vetting, whether that is getting a vaccine, taking a test, or other methods of review and approval, which could then be linked via digital ticket so everyone entering the event is verified, Yovert said. This was another one of our polls, whether this would this policy would make you more or less likely to go to a show, and that was split down the middle on this. If I did not already have a ticket for a concert, which I was supposed to go to this year, which I'm going to with Joe, I would not partake in this. I would just go, I'll wait till this whole COVID thing passes. I don't need to go to live events.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this over the weekend, and it was like, yeah, and we mentioned the two concerts. Like, I have concert we scheduled with you for the Motley Crue Def Leppard. And I also have Rammstein rescheduled for next year. And if I have to do that, I go, you know what? I want my money back. Just give me my money back. Fuck it.
So you want your money back? See, I don't even know how that works, because like in our case, I paid for all the tickets. So how would they know who the other people are? So I don't even know if you could keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
Oh. So wow. Yeah, that's a good point, because you have one person that's got the actual linked or whatever because of the ticket, and then, you know, who the hell are the rest of these people? Oh, good point.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's too invasive. I don't try. I mean, they say they don't keep the information. It's too many places having personal information, access to you. Now you got it. Because with all these apps, you got to give them access to your phone. Oh, we need access to your voicemail. We need access to your pictures and your videos. Why? Why do you need access to? Because we do. And because you.
I don't like it.
I was talking with Don
Jameson. I was working with Don Jameson last week, who was also on that metal show, who was also, you know, keeps in touch with all the bands out there touring. And even for those guys to go out on tour with the thought of a lot of people saying, you know what, just screw it, give me my money back. Just even those shows for the band even wanting to go out on tour, he might just say the hell with it altogether.
Yeah. So that, if that happens, I will have to see if I go to get the money back and if they'll even refund it at this point. But yeah, I think you know what it is. I think we've seen too many hacks, too many abuses of our information by various companies. We just don't trust them anymore. And this is a way. Somebody pointed out on the Facebook page, this is a way to force vaccination, which people are not really for. You know, forced vaccination, but this is a way, you know, to kind of coerce you. I get the appeal to it. I get it, because then you theoretically everybody there is safe. Theoretically, I get that. But if you get the vaccination and the vaccine protects you from COVID-19, then you really don't have to worry if somebody else is infected. So the only people that would have to worry are the people that have not gotten vaccinated, I would think.
I
just hate Ticketmaster with a passion. They fuck you over with the surcharge and the tickets and everything. And now we want to see if you have the virus. Fuck you! I'll come in with the virus itself. You know, I'll I'm going to bring my pet bubonic rat. I'm going to bring Chester with me, and he's going to come in because he loves Motley Crue. Fuck you, Ticketmaster.
What happens? What happens if you've already had the virus? Now you have the antibodies. We don't know how long it lasts, but theoretically, you might not need to get tested. You might not need to get vaccinated if you've already had it. Then how do you prove that you're okay? That's not on here.
Yeah.
It's like new technology. I don't really love this at all. I also had tickets. I had Wynwood tickets that got postponed until summer of 2021, and we also had tickets to Pussy Riot. And I don't remember what happened with those. We have a postponed date. I think we just got our money back.
You know who I wanted to see with Pussy Riot? I was hoping Finger 11 and Pussy Riot would tour. Anyway.
Well, the thing is, I'm not really sure that if that's what we have to do to go to this show. That I'll have to see where we're at that point, and if they insist on this. But I also agree that, you know, there's been too much hacking and too much using of people's personal information. I don't like this.
I think they're going to find there's a lot of pushback.
I think they are too.
And you
the thing about it is, everybody can't stand Ticketmaster. And everybody knows how Ticketmaster fucks you over for tickets. And now they're like, well, we're going to see if you're okay. You know what? Fuck you. I want my money back. I'm not even going to see the show. And once they start seeing that tickets might be canceled, the bands are going to go, you know what? We might not even do the tour. No tour, no money. And Ticketmaster's probably going to back off on this.
Think about this country. We can't even get people to wear a fucking mask. Now you're going to get people to give all your information to Ticketmaster? I don't see that happening. All right. So the three of us are old and set in our ways. We don't want your damn rock and roll beamed into our heads. And we're not using our damn fangled cellular phones to give Ticketmaster our health information.
That's right.
Because we're old and cranky.
You kids get off of my yard!
That's pretty much, but I think there's a lot of people like that. And they got to realize a lot of the younger people might not have a problem. But, you know, these legacy bands that we all go to see that are ones that make a lot of money, their fans might have a problem with it.
Oh, yeah. With Poison and Def Leppard, yeah, people in our age group, when Rammstein comes to town, I think I'm the anomaly that I'm, you know, I'm an older fan. I think a lot of the fans are usually about maybe 10 to 15 years younger than me. So I don't know if it'll be that much of a problem. But still, I hate Ticketmaster. It's none of their damn business. I laid out enough for the concert, and I get a funny feeling there's probably going to be pushback on this.
We shall see. All right, let's take our last break. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. On the break, we have Fenix Red with OU Something and Charlena with This Won't Die. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. Short break. We'll be right back.